This podcast is part of the Everyday Heroes Podcast Network, the network for first responders and those who support them.
But I don't think I would encourage it. And that's like a moral dilemma for cops right now is like, what would you say to someone interested in getting in law enforcement?
Welcome to the Off Duty Podcast, the podcast where we interview the men and women of law enforcement and help you to learn about the person behind the badge. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you. My name is Anthony McNeil, retired police officer and your host. Let's get started.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 96 of the Off Duty Podcast. Once again, it's me, your boy, Anthony McNeil, back with another awesome guest joining me here on the podcast. This gentleman has 24 years in the law enforcement profession. He's an actor. He's a LEO technical consultant to the film industry. He's from the state of Maryland. I'm happy to have joining me today, Mr. Victor Dubro, correct?
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Dubro, that's good.
I apologize, but y'all know me with names. I'm awful, and I just asked him that 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. So. trust me, I know the feeling.
Victor, how you doing,
thanks, man? Anthony, I appreciate it. Great. I appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir.
It's a cool platform you have here, and a cool idea. You know, I listen to some of your episodes, but I think what you're doing is really cool.
Thank you,
really
man. Nice. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. I wanted to do something different. And, you know, there's enough podcasts out there talking about departments and policies and politics and all that stuff. So, you know, I wanted to give something a little different. And what better way to do that than to talk about the men and women of the profession? And
that's cool.
That leads me into my first question. If you guys listen to the podcast, you know how I lead each episode off. Victor, why law enforcement?
I couldn't pass college algebra. I mean, really, if you think about it, I mean, I can't say, oh, my family was in there. I always wanted to be a cop when I was little. I always looked up to cops. But I was in college and my father made me a psychology major.
Okay.
I didn't know what I was going to do with that. And I really just failed college algebra. I was going through a tough time because I was just, I was 18 years old. And my father raised me pretty much by himself in Maryland. And my father passed away suddenly. And I was basically a grown man at age 18, whether I liked it or not. Wow. And I really, the girl I was dating, you know, said, well, why don't you like go to school and become a cop? And I was like, well, what do you mean? So I had no idea, like, you know, how you become a cop, how you get to the military or anything. And she said, you know, you could take classes in criminal justice, which I didn't even know was a thing.
Yeah.
And then you could be like a security officer for experience. And that's exactly what I did. And, you know, my grades shot up. And I don't, you can say, well, it's because criminal justice is easy, but I was actively engaged in my classes and I helped form like a criminal justice club at my local community college. And I was getting straight A's. I was on the dean's list. And then, you know, I got my 2-year degree, went on from there and went to University of Maryland. And I was getting really impatient. I had a couple years of security under my belt and I was really looking to get into law enforcement. So this was a long time ago. This was 1997 and it was hard getting hired in my region. There were wait lists. It was don't call us, we'll call you. And I'll show you some patches I have on my wall in my office. I applied to over 30 police agencies.
Wow.
Passed all the tests for all of them.
Wow.
And some of these tests I was scoring like 98, 96. And I was taking polygraph tests and nobody was calling me back. And I said, well, you know, the old saying is go west, young man, you know, go west for the jobs and the gold. So I started, I looked in the yellow pages. That's how old I am. and I was watching cops on TV and I saw some episodes of some Albuquerque cops getting in car chases and breaking windows and getting in fights. And they had these big 45 caliber, 1911 handguns. And I was like, whoa, I want to work there. So sure enough, I'm opening up the yellow pages and I'm like, oh, Dallas would be cool. Las Vegas would be cool. So, and I tell people this doesn't happen everywhere every day, but when I went to Albuquerque, I passed everything. They did my background. When I came back for my second visit, and a lot of agencies at least try to do that now, they do everything in two visits. Mm-hmm. They met me at the airport.
Oh, wow.
My background detective, civilian. He took me to lunch. He introduced me as a cadet recruit. He told me all the good places in town to go. I mean, so that's kind of like courting you like you're a college football athlete.
Right.
And we want you to come to our college and be our star quarterback. But I was just a police applicant.
Yeah.
Now, no one in the DC metropolitan Baltimore area was going to treat me like that. And so today, when I talk to people in recruiting now, I say, hey, you ever think about going and picking up these recruits and taking them to lunch? Imagine like what kind of impression that would leave.
Yeah.
To this day. So you're talking about 24 years later and I'm still talking about that experience.
Yeah. You aren't going to get that to nowadays. That's for sure.
But maybe you should, because police, we complain that we can't recruit enough. And I understand why, but really, what are we doing? We're setting up booths and handing out erasers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't mean too critical, but like, let's think outside the box. You know,
The profession never was really good at change. So
no, nobody likes change except guys getting closer to their retirement. Then, you know, even then they don't like change.
Yeah. Now, once you got into the profession, was it what you thought it would be?
And everything more. And I tell people, I try to explain this, and I explained this to John Bernthal, who I just filmed with in a TV show. Like, most cops have a natural progression where you're a rookie, you would do this for free. You're excited. You're on FTO. You're writing as many tickets as you can. You're competing against yourself. And then the rookie that you graduated with, you know, you're going to make more arrests than him. You're going to make more arrests than anyone in the squad. And really, all that's normal and to be expected, mm-hmm. and to look sharp in uniform. But, you know, as you progress your career, I don't know many 35-year veterans that have that same rigor. you know what I mean? And that's totally normal.
Yeah.
So when John Bernthal was asking me my honest opinion on the state of policing and where we're at, and I told Ronaldo Marcus Green, you know, he was a director for that Will Smith movie that won an Oscar or Emmy or whatever.
Okay.
I was talking to him. He was asking me how I'm doing. And I said, I can't wait to retire. And then these people are looking at me. They're smiling. They're like, really? And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
So I'm honest with people. I mean, there's good parts about it. There's bad parts. But I mean, that's where we're at.
How much longer you have to go?
I have 4 years.
Okay.
And believe it or not, like, a lot of people can't believe I'm still working because they see that I'm acting. And they're like, and you're still working? I have friends that I haven't talked to in like 2 years.
Okay.
And they're like, oh, I thought you retired. And then I don't take offense to it, but I snap back and I was like, well, I thought, are you retired? Did you retire? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, neither did I. So I haven't had the opportunity to move to LA to film, you know, for 4 months at a time as a series regular or as like a leading man in a film. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that time will come.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to time it where I got my foot in the industry and I got a really good trajectory. And if I stay with it, I imagine in 4 years, I can get as much work as I want. You know, we'll see. But no, I'm still working.
How'd you get into acting?
So, you know, I was copping Albuquerque for 8 years.
Okay.
And I had a few friends, and they film a lot of stuff in Albuquerque, and they make it look like it's Texas and everything else. And I'll give you some names if your viewers remember No Country for Old Men, The Longest Yard remake with Adam Sandler, Wild Hogs, mm-hmm. Breaking Bad, of course, which I tell people is very realistic. The open air drug traffic market in Albuquerque is very realistic. I'm watching the show and they're arresting prostitutes and drug users and dealers out of hotels that I've actually arrested prostitutes and drug dealers out of. And so it's like, it's very, very realistic. So I saw a couple of my cop friends like as background,
uh-huh.
and then one of them got bumped up to like a line here, a line there. And then another cop friend had a line here, a line there. But I still was like, man, like, how do you get in the industry? You must know somebody. It's who you know. And so I was kind of intimidated. I didn't know. I thought it was cool. A lot of my cop friends are like, oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But no one really kind of walked me through it. And you know, I got more advice from people. So it went from there. But I did like a fan film as a favor for a friend, like a Friday 13th fan film.
Okay.
And I had a couple lines and they ended up like not even using, you know, some of it. But then after that, my wife saw a social media post about The Walking Dead World Beyond was looking for cops, former or current cops or soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had just done one movie and I'm like, man, that's really cool. And I put in for it and I was surprised how easy I got it. And that's what I try to tell people now is like, you don't realize if you're prior military or police or current, you're so marketable for the like Hollywood industry.
Yeah.
And you don't need, people say you need to have professional headshots and you need a resume and you need this and that. Really, all you need is your class A picture, a picture with you in shape in the military mm-hmm. or you in shape in your police uniform, something that looks sharp. And they got a role for you.
Yeah.
And it just depends on what you can do with that and how much you want to do with it. I mean, so I went from being a fan and getting autographs of these actors at these Comic Cons mm-hmm. to like being in shows and movies with them. And that's really, really, really weird.
Yeah. What's some of the shows you've been in?
So the Walking Dead World Beyond, Dope Sick on Hulu with Michael Keaton.
I just watched that not too long ago.
It's a really, really good series. I'm filming like an independent thriller TV show called The Clowns.
Okay.
And I'm acting as like the police consultant. I helped cast. I helped with locations. I helped with us so much that the producer said, look, I can only give you a few credits because if I give you like a half dozen credits, it's not going to look right. So I really helped with that. Those are the shows I'm on. Right now I'm on HBO's We Own This City.
Okay.
And I play John Clue. And it's funny. And I'm learning tricks of the trade and the business. And I have friends in the industry that have been in the industry a long time, but they're not maximizing their potential. And so like, I'm really self-taught actor. And you can teach yourself anything, whatever you want to do, you can do. I learned how to drag race my Hellcat in the quarter mile tracks.
Wow.
By YouTube and having a friend kind of show me.
University of YouTube.
Yeah, and I learned how to act on YouTube, but I work with a lot of classically trained artists, but you got to put in all the work, but all that work you got to put in to be able to get there.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of different movies. I'm in another show that's going to come out from HBO, The White House Plumbers.
Okay.
Dope Sick. I have an IMDb page. I tell people it's like the actor's online resume,
mm-hmm.
and even I'm checking it constantly because some projects, you know, will take a couple years to even release information about.
Yeah.
So like there should be another one coming out, a movie called Talons of the Phoenix and Independent. So I've done a mixture of like one fan film, a bunch of different like TV shows and movies. I was actually on a movie yesterday. Now they said I signed an NDA, but I never signed an NDA. and that's non-disclosure agreement for some people. But I received an email last week saying like, by opening this email, you are consenting to not tell anybody anything about anything. And I told a friend yesterday, and I said, I don't really think that's legal. Like, you can't send somebody an email saying upon opening this email, like you just right. opened it. And so like, so I really have signed NDAs for some projects I've done and others I haven't, but people assumed we have.
Yeah.
But I was in Washington, D.C. yesterday only doing background, which I'm going to. Honestly, just I'm probably going to stop doing all together because it's
Are
not.
Are you SAG now?
Yeah, I'm Mid-Atlantic SAG, and I'm getting audition requests outside of the area region, which means I would have to go full SAG. And I have a friend that happened the same thing. So he was on Breaking Bad, and he only had to pay $800 to be in SAG. So, but his contacts asked him to be on that show Army of the Dead on Netflix, and which was number one for like a week. So he had to fly to New Jersey and work for 3 weeks straight. And you know how royalties work is really funny. He was only like a stunt double, driver and stuff. And he made as much money on his royalties with his first royalty check as he did when he was filming. And he just got the minimum rate of like $1,100 or $1,000 a day. So he told me he made like mm-hmm. $21,000 filming. And then think about that, you know, a couple months later, you get another check for $21,000 just because your movie did so well.
Yeah.
So TV industry works, I think, a little bit differently. It's based upon rights and distributing box set DVDs and all that stuff. So, but yeah, so I tell people go to IMDb because I'm constantly posting like the newest projects I'm attached to, or other people, you know, will talk to me and ask me to be in a film or something, and then they'll attach me to their film. So the list is growing.
I'm going to share something I've never shared on the podcast before. I did some acting. I'm actually SAG. And I have a series on Amazon called I Declare War, where I had the lead character it was an eight episode series. And I played Adolph Sinclair, head of the Black Mafia family in Detroit. Don't break your neck to go find it. It's on there, but trust me, It wasn't the greatest.
That's cool. I really enjoy watching. These are some weird stories. Like, once you start doing a few projects, you'll catch yourself just watching TV like you normally do, and you'll notice people you've worked with. And you're like, hey, that person looks familiar. And you're like, wow, I had a scene with that person. So as a background, it's exciting. But then you start realizing, like, you know, I had a scene where I spoke with that person. And then you don't realize what all the projects people are in, but it's randomly on History Channel and Discovery. And, I did like True Conviction, but that's cool to see. Like, so I'm going to see your show and I'll be like, I know it.
Trust me. You won't think very highly of it. I mean, the story was good, but the production wasn't the best. And, you know, but it is what it is. It was fun doing it. It took about 6-7 months to film it all. And the director actually just reached out to me about 2 months ago about doing a season two, but I told him I'm good. I'm tied up with this podcasting stuff. And like you, I got started in all of that as an extra. I don't know if you remember the TV show. I'm in Michigan. And there was, when we had the film incentives here, they were filming a show called Detroit 187. It was a cop show. And it lasted maybe two seasons. And, you know, I went down, I was an extra on that. And that's how I got started. Then I started doing extras and a whole bunch of other stuff. My biggest thing as an extra was on Lifetime. It was a Lifetime movie with Mekhi Phifer and Michael Anthony Hall from Weird Science and Catherine Bell from the show that used to be on JAG. And I did a whole bunch of other independent films.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
It was fun, but it was cool, you know, but I'll podcast instead.
podcasting is growing. And I'm not going to forget where I came from, really, because the background, and I told my friends yesterday, I got into it with some background production assistants. And if anyone knows, understand the hierarchy in filming and TV, basically,
background.
Yeah, you have
nothing.
Your superstars that get dropped off in Cadillac Escalades and they're in a green room. And, you know, we get that, right? But the lowest is really background. And a step above background is a background PA. And so I know some of them, they're polite and they're professional and they're nice. And there's others that just act like bullies. So yesterday, this guy started yelling at me and this actress, this lady. So we were doing exactly what the director told us to do for the previous take. And this background production assistant started yelling at us and waving. And I didn't think he was talking to us. And he just raised his voice and he was talking down to us. And I didn't say it in these terms, but I basically said, like, who the hell you think you're talking to? Like, who? You don't talk to people this way. Like, they're yelling at people in the street. And like, me, there's a lot of mentally ill people walking around the streets. And so you have a production assistant. Right. I saw it 2-3 times yesterday where they're being rude and yelling at people that clearly have a mental illness. And I'm thinking that's the last thing you want to do is just trigger somebody. And now you're going to be like fighting behind, in camera frame, with this person. But anyway, I get sidetracked, but I've been a background actor, an extra one day for HBO. And the very next day, I'm a principal speaking, actor role on a different show for the same channel, HBO, but two different production companies, and they treat you totally different. And that's really what I want to address and tell people is that's not right. That's not fair. You need to treat everybody with respect. And there has to be, maybe treat the background people a little bit nicer. And then maybe you don't have to worship the A-list stars for no reason. We're all human beings.
I don't see that happening though. I mean, background, you're that new rookie first day on the job.
Nah, you gotta.
And you get treated as such, that's for sure. You know, I did the background thing for about a year. Then I enrolled in acting school and I went to acting school for a year. And it was shortly after that I went out and started doing auditions and started landing roles. But doing the background stuff, like you say, with craft services and all that stuff, and you're the last to get whatever's left of food and things like that. But it was fun doing it. It just wasn't for me. You know, I really enjoyed it. People told me I was good at it. I didn't think so, but it is what it is. You know, I enjoyed the time that I put in doing it, but it's just so time consuming and everything, you know, and just trying to grind. And once the film incentives left here in Michigan, the work is dried up.
That way all over the country. You know, our union told us to make sure we hit up our local delegates or whatever in Maryland and tell them about this bill coming up. I don't know if it passed or not, but like, so right now I think Atlanta has a big incentives. New Mexico obviously have the big incentives, but I think LA is the biggest market, then New York, then Atlanta. But to get companies to come and to stay, they kind of have to use Washington, D.C. for some shots. But as far as Maryland or Virginia, you know, they try to offer incentives, but they're not on the same scale as these other states. So I emailed all these delegates and I politely and professionally told them, I didn't say where I worked. I just said I was a police officer in Maryland. And due to a lot of different reasons, I'm looking at getting out of law enforcement and joining, you know, getting into the filming industry. And this really helped me and others in the filming industry. And out of all the delegates, whoever I emailed, I had one person email me back and say, thank you for your service. This bill has my support. So imagine all the other people that saw that as a blank template and just ignored it. So these politicians say they care about cops. Well, they obviously don't care enough to read emails saying, hey, I'm a cop and I'm thinking about quitting, retiring so I can do something else. So.
Yeah, well, that's a whole nother conversation.
That's it.
All right, Victor, I want to go ahead and jump into my first segment here. This is what I call Dig Deeper. This is where I get nosy and I go poking around my guests' social media and I find certain posts and I craft questions around those posts. And the first post of yours that I came across, this was actually a picture of your son on a scooter. And the caption on that post read, inching closer to achieving my next professional acting goal. The more audition requests, the better the odds. I still have work to do. I understand my strengths and weaknesses, and I have a plan to address them. You recall that post?
Thank you for bringing that. I've never had actually someone read my post back to me before. That's the first time ever. That's cool.
Well, my first question around that post is, what would you say has been your biggest strength as a person?
Wow. As a person, probably, I don't know the definition to use, but maybe just like the determination, determined, like strong-willed, the don't give up, because I kind of apply that to everything. You know, when you're half-assing something and you know it and you feel it, but just about 99% of the time, anything you're doing, you're not half-assing. I'm not. So like, you call it competitive spirit or whatever, but I mean, there's a lot of things I would love to be, like great, you know, father, great husband and police officer, human being and all that, and friend. But as far as like attributes or whatever, I'd say just like determination, maybe something like that. I don't know. It's a tough one.
What would you say is your weakest strength?
Stubborn, really stubborn. Like, I mean, like a lot of cops. And what I'd say is you have to understand it's fairly normal. So as a cop, if you're asking me a question and I tell you an answer, my answer is going to be my truth. And if you don't like it, sometimes you can't see eye to eye. Sometimes you're like, no, that's my answer is right, because I know it's right, because it's mine. But I've kind of learned to be a little bit more humble, be more open, especially because I'm a supervisor, I'm a lieutenant, and I tell people really quick,
okay,
hey, if you guys catch me saying something, doing something wrong, if you can find it in the general orders, be polite about it. Just let me know. Now, I know a lot of supervisors that I have worked for, where you can't correct them. You can't politely say, hey, look, just to let you know, you're actually wrong. And you can try to say it in a nice terms, but I tell people, right, you know, hey, if you can find it, because I mean, you got to be able to show that you're human. I don't know everything. I don't want to pretend that I know everything, but you know, it's still being stubborn. So, you know, work on that stubbornness, be a little bit open. But that probably will help me in all my areas of my life, is just try not to be as damn stubborn.
All right. I want to ask you about another post. And this was actually a pretty impressive video that you had posted here. But this was a video of you rope climbing. And it wasn't just rope climbing, but you were climbing two ropes at once. And you weren't using your legs at all. It was all arm strength. And the caption on that post was, you are only limited by your own negative mindset. Obviously, you recall that post. And my question to you is, what do you do when you need to overcome self-doubt?
You know, having a good base of friends. That's kind of what I'm using right now. Cause, I'll tell you, relating it to acting, a lot of times we have this syndrome called the I'm not worthy syndrome, where it's like, I can't believe I'm here. Mm-hmm. Am I really worthy? Like, I'm not as good as these people. Like, why am I here? And I tell people that self-doubt will kill your performance in anything in life. And you got to believe in yourself. You got to be confident and try not to be cocky. But there are times naturally, like people deal with depression. And I don't think I have depression, but I know people deal with that. But when you're not, you know, feeling it and you're kind of second guessing yourself, and every actor that goes through dry spells, you know, get that way. So what you need is, what I've found helpful is when people tell me, no, you're good. Trust me. No, you're good. Even though I'm still new at acting, fairly new, people say, no, you have life experiences. You've been a cop how long? You've done enough. You know how to do this. You know how to do that. You can play different roles. So a good base of friends and supportive family. So, you know, sometimes you get that, sometimes you don't, in different aspects. But also, like, you know, exercise, eat healthy, clear your mind. So, just kind of remove yourself from that thought process, do something you love, get involved in another hobby. Mm-hmm. And that kind of goes with being off duty, is find something you love. And I tell people, absolutely, try to find something you can do that you love, but also make money, you know, because you could go drag racing and break your Hellcat and be pissed and broke like me, or, you know, you just do it for the fun. And so have a hobby for sure to help.
No doubt. What was the last time you failed at something?
That's a good question. I don't know. Like, well, I'll tell you the steps and as far as acting, are crazy, because they say, I've heard a few different stats, but basically the acting industry, entertainment industry, has an 84% unemployment rate. So if you hear someone saying they're a full-time actor, I believe that. And I guess that's based on, are you currently working or booked, or are you scheduled to work? So every time I tell you, I did 5 auditions within the past 2 weeks, like audition request, which was one of my professional acting goals, is to, you know, have a speaking role in a show and then get like request mm-hmm. to come back, like to a different show with the same casting or whatever. But so I achieved that goal. And so my next goal is to actually book like a second role speaking off of the first one. You know, bigger roles. So you could say like my last time I failed is, you know, just within the last 2 weeks doing five auditions and not hearing anything. So I tell you how actors flip that mentality. Is you have to tell yourself, even being requested to audition, or if I'm requesting a role in your film, for you to allow me to audition should be considered a win. And I could tell you, I have a friend that's a producer and director, and he had to watch 4,000 audition tapes for one role and 3,000 for another role. And this guy is not sleeping like at all. And you could tell in his face. So like there's huge competition. So when someone mm-hmm. sends out a request and says, I would like Victor Dobro to read for this part, that's a win for me. Or you can say, man, I didn't get it, or I haven't heard about it yet. So you can consider that a loss. So you try to, because there's so many losses and so many, it's a common theme among actors, is keep up the grind. Don't give up, stick with it. Many famous actors have said publicly that they're very close to quitting, or actually did quit, and then they try to come back into the industry. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I fail every time I'm not booked on a role. And some of them are just like local, like whether it be a short film or local, low budget, and getting passed over for a local project with people that you know and that you're friends with, that stings. And then you feel like, man, I'm not even good enough to like just work with my friends. Like they think someone else is better, but then you're getting invites on other parts of the country. So it's like, I'll take what I can get.
There you go. Yeah. Cause it is, like I said, it's a tough business, man. And, you know, I'm signed to 2 agencies, but I since have gone inactive with them. But, you know, they were sending me, especially to Chicago, to audition for all those Chicago Med and Chicago PD and all those shows. And I never got any roles, but like you said, I never thought about what you just said, looking at just an invite as a win, You know, that's good advice. I want to ask you about one more post here. And this was another video. This was actually a video of you having a happy dad moment. I believe it's with your kids. And the caption read, "So I'm addicted to this." And it was just your kids and you sitting on the couch and you guys were just looking at the camera and just smiling, just having a good time together. And my first question
you're
around
gonna make
that
me cry
post
on
is,
a podcast now. And
you won't be the first.
I won't show emotions now, but I'm gonna need that. I'm gonna need that when I need to cry on TV.
Well, we'll try not to make you cry here. But in one word, describe what being a dad means to you.
It's an extremely important gift and responsibility. Gift and responsibility. And it's not easy.
Yeah.
But it's ultimate reward. So, yeah, I mean, I just scrolling through social media and the Instagram feed, you hear all these inspirational quotes, everything. I love to post things from Morgan Freeman, but my favorite actor is Denzel Washington. And I was starting to study his speeches to practice like condensing one and making it my own personal monologue. But you hear all these inspirational things and it's like, you know, I told some people this, but I tell myself this. Sometimes when you're just on the floor playing with your kids, there's no other place you'd rather be in the world if you have kids. And I think parents understand what I'm saying. And you can get into you're busy, you got to run to work, you got to do this, you got to make food, you got to, you know, get them in a shower, this or that. And life can be hectic, bills, everything bringing you down, responsibilities and stress of doing a self tape at 1 a.m. to get it in time.
Mm-hmm.
But like one thing, you know, that I found, it's just to take a second or longer and then just lay on the floor and play with your kids. And stuff, you still got to put your phone away and it's, you're playing with your kids and then you realize your kids are pulling on you saying, "Daddy, daddy, daddy." And then you realize your face is stuck in your phone too. So, but no, that's the best feeling. And I've had that feeling before. And you don't know what you have until you lose it. If you've had kids that have grown up or have grown apart, in different families and families that break apart. So I'm trying to understand that the gift and privilege I have now and, you know, we're what they have, you know, whatever family they have, that's it. You know, your job to protect them, teach them, train them.
Now your kids are both fairly young.
Yeah.
But when the time comes, if they were to come to you and say, "Dad, we're thinking about going into law enforcement," how would you feel?
You know, I thought about that myself. And if I was younger in my career, I would say, you know, I'm honored or try to, I'll give you an example. Like I worked for an agency where the former chief of police is well known, really liked guy, you know, for the most part for years and years. And he had a son and his son didn't follow in his footsteps as a cop. He went to a federal agency and behind, you know, behind not closed doors, but everyone kind of knew because that father wanted more for his son and he wanted more. So you can say, you know, yeah, you could become a cop, but you know, you don't need a degree for this job necessarily for most agencies, but you know, there's better places out there, like maybe safer, more rewarding financially or safer physically. So if I was younger, I would say, I'd be honored, but I'd be very worried and scared. But as I get older and more wise or whatever, you know, I would still support them, obviously. And I wouldn't push them either way. If they were interested, I would show them the good, the bad, but I don't think I would encourage it. And that's like a moral dilemma for cops right now is like, what would you say to someone interested in getting in law enforcement? Would you want them to, versus, you know, if you're trying to retire, and I think one of your guests talked about it before, like, how do you consolidate the two? So it's tough, but I wouldn't say no, you're not allowed, but I want to encourage them to look into all these other things that they can do.
Yeah. See what other options are out there.
Definitely. I mean, even nowadays I'm starting to think like maybe college isn't the answer, especially with like how much it costs and debt and then everyone's expecting just to be repaid and to do nothing with their college education. So like, how about a trade or, you know, think outside the box.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the theme for the podcast. Think outside the box. I want to go ahead and jump into my next segment here, Victor.
Yeah.
And this is what I call random seven. And these are just seven totally random questions. I kind of catered them a little bit just for you.
Uh-oh.
But these are just random questions and just try to answer them the best you can. I selected a couple of categories that you should probably have some strengths
in. Okay. Well, I'll try not to lie.
And there is nothing too difficult, but just try to answer the best you can. And the first one is, was there a movie that you weren't allowed to see as a kid that all of your friends got to see?
You know, as a child, my father had me babysat by a very strict religious household. And okay. They answered the phone with "Praise the Lord," and you couldn't curse and soap in your mouth. And I want to say like maybe Porky's or Purple Rain or something. So like I'm like 10 years old, 11, maybe even 12 years old. And there's like R-rated, like why is Porky so bad? Or obviously like
one of the best movies ever.
Even like maybe Friday the 13th, you know, I'm a huge Friday the 13th fan. But when those first came out, like I couldn't watch horror films. I couldn't watch, you know, anything R-rated or anytime anyone started kissing or anything more like, okay, you got to leave the room or we got to change the channel. So yeah, I'm sure they were there. But you know, what's funny is I also tell people I was blessed to be able to watch in the movie theater with my father a few movies because he was a very busy man. But like we saw E.T. together, and you know which ones we saw? We saw Coming to America together. And this is me and my father. And you remember the scene where they're in the hot tub with Eddie Murphy and his staff.
Right.
And I'm sitting right next to my father and I'm like, oh my God. Like I'm young enough and old enough to realize what's going on. And that was kind of weird. So I still quote that line all the time, but I'm just not gonna quote it now. But the line that his staff gives him in Coming to America. In the jacuzzi.
Good film. Part two sucked, but
yeah, I didn't even watch it. Some remakes shouldn't be redone, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that kind of leads it to the next question. Can you think of any movie remakes that you like better than the original?
Friday the 13th, part two with Steve Dash, who is a former medically retired NYPD officer and had his picture taken behind Richard Nixon. Now he passed away, so rest in peace. But I didn't know Stephen Dashowitz was the original baghead Jason Voorhees in part two. And he was a medically retired NYPD. And I went to Comic-Cons late in his life, and he was very irreverent in New York accent, and he didn't care if there was a kid standing at his his table. He was dropping F bombs. But he was a great guy. Like he realized I was a cop. I realized he was a cop. And then like all of a sudden we had to bond. And I'm like, oh my God, I've loved your character my whole life. And I didn't know you were a former cop too.
But I didn't know that either.
So Friday. Yeah. And I'm friends with like, a few of those real actors, but each Friday the 13th started to get better until it started to get worse. So.
Yeah. That usually happens with remakes. They just wear them out.
Yeah.
Next question. Which movie do you think is overhyped?
Honestly, Don't Look Up.
Which one is that?
It was on Netflix and I filmed in it, but they didn't use my scene. So that's probably me being a little upset and having a chip on my shoulder. So like I filmed all day long and here I'm thinking I'm going to be able to hold the door for Leonardo DiCaprio and say, good morning, sir. Or, you know, maybe like become famous or something. And it was cool being attached to it. And they did a lot of improv and people are saying how great they did. And here's the thing is, anyone could be a great actor and any great actor can have a bad acting performance. So I think it was very like politically driven, trying to, you know, send a message about environmentalism and where we are and they're really just trying to make fun of society as a whole. But I think it fell flat and not just because I don't think like I have those political points of view or ideology. I just think like a lot of that humor was just wasn't well. And I can't even say it wasn't well written because they're writing all, it was improv. The director, even the scene that I was in, they were encouraging improv. So every take, they were saying different things. And I was, I'm here thinking this is like a sci-fi thriller, fantasy action. And they're like, oh, it is. But it was like really just a comedy. Yeah. So I think it was a little, other people were like, oh, it's great. But it's like Leonardo DiCaprio and Meryl Streep, like really, really good actors, actresses, one of the best all time.
Absolutely.
But then they're delivering lines like they think, it's like they think they're funny and people are patting them on the back saying, oh, that was great. And then like half of America is like, that's horrible.
So yeah, I've never seen the movie.
Yeah, you're not missing anything. You said it was on HBO. It was Netflix.
Okay.
And like, I wasn't, you know, my scene didn't even make it. But even if it did, I wouldn't get royalties. So
yeah.
But how many actors they had on that show, that movie, it was a lot.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Next question. If you could bring back any canceled TV series, which show would you bring back?
Breaking Bad.
I had a feeling you would say that.
I mean, listen, when people talk about their favorite TV series ever, it's kind of they talk about the one that they think of. Like right now, the biggest thing is The Wire because of our show, HBO, We Own the City. Everyone's comparing it to, what, 20 years ago or 10, 12 years ago, the producers making that. So everyone was like, yeah, man, The Wire is the best ever, the best ever. And I liked The Wire and I thought it was great. And I probably thought it was my favorite show. But every once in a while, a new show comes across. So, I mean, there's probably someone out there thinking that MASH from the 1970s is the best show ever. Like, yeah. But really, I think like Breaking Bad, because I worked there, and it was very realistic and well-written and acted, and it didn't need it much special effects, was great. And it had an ending. They knew when they were going to end it and how they were going to end it at some point. And a lot of shows now, they just go on and on. Like Walking Dead, they have 3-4 different shows. They're trying to create more spinoffs. They don't have an ending in sight, or maybe they do, but they don't want to tell us. So honestly, you know, this franchise is like losing fans. And it's losing actors. You know how many actors I've worked with where the common joke was like, hey, when did you stop watching Walking Dead? And they're like, oh, you know, season 8, you know, oh, whenever they caught Rick, or, oh, you know, when they started introducing this. So even actors, like, you expect me as a CRM soldier, I was on, you know, Walking Dead as a featured recurring CRM soldier. Mm-hmm. You expect me to know everything about the entire franchise. Like, I was at Comic-Cons a few years ago getting autographs by all these people, and now I'm acting with them. So
yeah absolutely.
I don't know, I would say Breaking Bad, but there's so many, like Game of Thrones and The Wire, and I don't know what else.
I have two. Game of Thrones would be one, and the other one, I'm gonna go way back, and that would be Sanford and Son.
Oh my god, so you wish it never stopped?
Oh absolutely, dude. I love,
I watched Sanford that as a kid too. Yeah, but you can't say or do any of that stuff they did back then.
No, you couldn't
make Tropic Thunder now.
Right
you couldn't make the Wayans chicks movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't. There's a whole lot of things you can't do now.
It's
crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a shame.
It is. All right, man, two more questions here. The next one, would you rather be rebuilt as a machine or as part animal if you were in a devastating accident?
Oh, RoboCop. So it's an easy answer, because I was actually not, you know, they say you never give yourself a nickname because you know, that does, you don't give yourself a nickname, but I was given the nickname, Robo Dobro, like RoboCop, but you add my last name and my license plate say Robo, and, I have like RoboCop action figures, and I have a morale patch on my vest. I don't know if I have it with me, but it says, I hate cops except RoboCop. So, but no, I mean, it's a great story, but like when people all say like that, they not hate, but they're mad that we have discretion and like they expect cops to be perfect. And I say, well, what do you really want? You want RoboCop? You want machines out there? So you want machines making decisions? Like, I don't think you do. I don't think
it doesn't matter what's out there. Nobody, they're not going to be happy.
I don't think you've seen RoboCop, but I think that's really cool.
Yeah. All right, man. Last question. All right. This is kind of a silly one, but would you rather snort wasabi or get a jalapeno seed stuck in your eyes?
Snort wasabi or jalapeno?
Get a jalapeno seed stuck in your eye.
Probably the wasabi. Because I mean, I can deal with OC spray, you know. There's some officers that have been on 10, 15 years that have never sprayed somebody because they're afraid, because they were sprayed in the academy and their eyes burned. Even though nowadays people wear, you know, protective glasses and they get to close their eyes and they hold their breath for 2 seconds. And like, come on, like I got sprayed, I got sprayed twice in the 90s and I had to take all of it. So I could take the OC. That's not to say that I like it. But the Wasabi, I think it would just come up my nose and out my throat, and I would be able to clear myself of the contagion a lot quicker than something spicy in my eye. Where do you come up with these questions?
They're all just random electronically generated, man. Like I say, they're just random questions.
So far, I haven't lied. So,
all right. I want to go ahead and get to my next segment. And this is what I call flip the script. And this is where you as the guest get a chance to ask the listener a question. And I ask you to come up with a question to pose to the listener. Do you recall what that question was?
Yes, sir.
All right. If you don't mind going ahead and asking your question.
So this came up in a previous podcast with some friends, and I had to think about it a little bit. And you can give more than one answer. But think about this. If you could be in any movie or any TV show that has been made or that, you know, that you would like to see made, like what character would you be and who would you share the screen with? Like what character? You know, and it's easier to think about movies that have been made, but some people may say, well, I imagine being in this movie with this actor or actress that hasn't been made. So I think that's a pretty cool question. It gets people thinking. And it took me a while, and I had a few answers. But how about you, Anthony? What would you say?
Oh, man. For me, a character to play me?
No. For you to play a character and with who would you share the screen with?
Oh,
basically, oh, like, who's your favorite actor? But like, would you want to be?
Oh, hands down, Denzel.
You know, what movie or show or whatever would you have wanted to be in working with him, or would you want like a special role created for you?
It wouldn't matter.
Yeah,
it wouldn't even matter. Yeah, I mean, I think the guy's just a freaking genius on screen, and I like Forrest Whitaker also.
You do?
I would say, yeah, he's different. You know, and I like his style, especially in Godfather of Harlem. I don't know if you've seen the series, but I thought he played that role really well. But yeah, Denzel, hands down, man.
So would you
hands down?
Would there be anything that he's done that you would want to play that actor across from him, or would you want something special for you?
I would say probably Malcolm X.
Wow, and who would you have played?
Probably I can't remember the character's name, but it was the guy that was underneath Farrakhan.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. With the bald head.
Yeah.
The very I can tell. Yeah. I'm looking at your face and I'm thinking that's who he wants to be. I got you.
I can't remember the character's name.
No, I don't know it either. I know exactly who you're talking about.
That's who it would be.
That's cool. Yeah. I tell people I wanted to be like Billy Hoyt in Training Day. But I don't think I look like a rookie anymore. Just being a little bit older, but Denzel Washington is my favorite actor. Occasionally I'll really like other actors and then I'll go back. Like, yeah. I really like John Bernthal, but you know, sometimes I go back, but as far as talent and passion, and these guys, a great human being. I mean, we all see what happened during the Emmys or whatever, when he's trying to counsel Will Smith. I mean, the guys, and it's not even about him being like religious, maybe just spiritual. And he's just, he has so much like love in his heart and skill. And he's got that desire. And they say like, you can play all these roles and really just be yourself. So yeah, like, I guess Denzel is really himself in every role.
Yeah.
But it works and it's great.
He just really embodies the role. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And you know, you can tell he knows his shit. That's for sure.
But there's a lot of actors and actresses, you know what I mean? That I've, you could think about like, oh man, I would love to be in a movie or show with this person or that person. So it's just fun to think about.
Yeah. I hear you, man. That's why they call it Hollywood. Get to pretend.
Yeah.
You know, last segment here. And this is what I call this or that. This is my rapid fire round.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to give you two topics. You simply have to pick one. You don't necessarily have to explain why, but don't give it too much thought. Okay.
Got it.
And the first one, Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter?
Lord of the Rings.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Batman or Spider-Man?
Batman all day.
The Hunger Game or Divergent?
Neither. The Hunger Games.
Indiana Jones or James Bond?
James Bond.
The Fast and the Furious or Pirates of the Caribbean?
Pirates of the Caribbean. Caribbean.
Caribbean. Yeah, there you go. Despicable Me or Cars?
Despicable Me.
I agree. Thor or Superman?
Thor.
All right. And the last one, loyalty or honesty?
Both, but I'm big on loyalty right now, but I don't know how you cannot say honesty.
Victor, man, listen, I appreciate you coming on here and sharing everything that you have going on. If you can do me a favor, please, if somebody wanted to reach out and follow you or get in touch with you, what's the best way to do so?
Instagram. It's Victor_Dobro_official. So Victor Dobro official, but I have a webpage up now and IMDb if people want to track projects and stuff. And I got a actor's Facebook page. But that's it. I'm trying to do everything I can to be more accessible. And hey, you know, I've had private social media for my whole entire life. And all of a sudden I want to be an actor. And I guess I had to go public. So
exactly.
No more political posts. So
guys, there's going to be links to all of Victor's stuff down in the show notes. So please go over, follow him, check him out on IMDb and all of that good stuff. Check out some of the films that he's doing and that he's working on, that he's been in. Again, man, I appreciate you taking time out of your day to come on here and kick it with me. Any last words before we get out of here?
You can do whatever you set your heart to. You can YouTube train yourself to be whatever you want to be. So yes, don't have confidence, and you got to work harder for it though.
Yes, sir. That's an excellent point to end on right there. Guys, listen, I appreciate you listening to the podcast. I've said every podcast just about, but if you are not a VIP, what are you doing? You need to become a VIP. It's only $9 a month. As a VIP, you're going to get extra content. You're going to get a vacation voucher. You're going to get all kinds of other goodies. But most importantly, each month, a percentage of your membership will go to the First Responders Children's Foundation. So please click the link down in the show notes and become a VIP. Again, Victor, man, much success to you. Continue success. Continue working hard. Stay safe out there. And hopefully these next 4 years go by quick for you and you can hit that retirement date and maybe that big film will come across and come along and you'll be able to get out of there before then. The listeners, I appreciate you guys. You guys stay safe and I will see you all on the next episode. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Take care. Thank you.